My friends, may only the truth be spoken, and may only the truth be heard. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. It was just a few short months ago, in a different homily, that I happened to mention that I didn't take kindly to Jesus referring to us as sheep. But that was then. I'm now going to exercise my human prerogative to change my mind. This morning, I'm going to cast aside my misgivings and embrace this metaphor wholeheartedly. Not because I'm feeling foolish or obstinate or even lost, but because I'm feeling weary, somewhat beaten down, a bit spent and listless, like a middle-aged sheep who's feeling fenced in, contained in a rather brown pasture with only a brackish pond for a view, and cognizant that more and more wolves are gathering, some howling at a wary distance, but some circling more boldly, drawing ever nearer. The news cycle these past 2 weeks has been disheartening, to say the least. And after 13 long months of uncertainty and unknowing, when finally it seemed like there might be light at the end of that tunnel, our fatigue, worry, and discouragement make a lot of sense. And I know many of you are feeling this too, in varying degrees. In fact, a couple of you pointed me to an insightful article in the New York Times about the emotional long haul of this pandemic. The title of the article is, "There's a Name for That Blah You're Feeling." It describes the evolution of the intense fear and grief we experienced last year at the beginning of COVID into the chronic condition or blah of joylessness and aimlessness we are now experiencing. It's called languishing. Languishing, the author explains, is a chronic condition of unwellness, which is situated midway between depression on the one hand and healthy flourishing on the other. So if that's the sheepfold we currently call home, the gate is locked most of the time, and we don't have the key. The grass is dried up and tasteless, but that's our food. Sheep from neighboring flocks cannot visit. Many families are separated. The flock is tired, anxious, listless, and lacking motivation, struggling. And while some of us may be okay, thank you very much, some of us may be truly depressed. Whoever and however we are, I believe we all need the strong arms of the Good Shepherd right now to catch us up in his loving embrace and carry us off to a place of repose and refreshment, a place of renewal and rebirth, far, far away from this place of languishing and perishing. With the psalmist, we cry, O my beloved, you are my shepherd. So I shall want for nothing. You bring me to green pastures for rest and lead me beside still waters, renewing my spirit. You restore my soul. What trust, eh? What hope and faith in this shepherd's power to tend to our tired and aching spirits. We trust this good shepherd, don't we, with our very lives, because he lays down his life for us. Unlike the hired hand who sees the wolf coming and runs away, the good shepherd stays to fight our foes, putting his life on the line to protect us, dying if that's what it takes. In other words, what makes this shepherd of the sheep good is that he is also a lamb, and not just any old lamb, but the Lamb of God. So he's got skin in this game of life and death, in this game of life and death and resurrection. The news cycle this past week has really brought home to me how much I long for this Easter shepherd, whose voice I know and trust. I'm always longing for this holy voice, and when I catch even mere hints of it, my heart drumbeats like thunder, because I yearn for a true voice to follow. I yearn for a voice to which I can truly listen, knowing it is a voice of love, and knowing that the speaker himself listens to this voice of love. I can listen because he himself listens. He listens to his Father, to his Abba, the one in whom he dwells and in whom the Father dwells, between whom there is this intimate oneness of being, this intimate oneness of love. It seems to me that the hired hands, the thieves, and the bandits do not listen, so we cannot trust them. I'm going to go out on a limb here, far out on a limb, and ask, how can we trust leaders who do not listen to their scientific or medical or legal advisors, or even to their own political colleagues, to the voice of love, to the best interests of their constituents, especially their most vulnerable constituents, the least of these, my brothers and sisters, my siblings? But who instead enact laws or policies that are unjust, likely unconstitutional, discriminatory, clearly illogical? We yearn for a leader to listen to follow. Yet all too often, there are no credible, true voices, just a cacophony of confused, anxious noises. Now, what was partially redemptive and salutary about what happened last week was that eventually some listening did happen, and corrective action and apology did occur because police chiefs, healthcare leaders, the public, you and I refuse to listen to these voices. Advocacy occurred. The democratic process did what it was designed to do. And fear and injustice were not the last words. And there were other heartening moments last week as the pace of vaccinations continued to accelerate, as justice was rendered in the case of George Floyd. Although I have to say that the basic rendering of justice should be our baseline and not a cause for celebration. The psalmist says that having restored our souls, the Good Shepherd then leads us in the path of goodness to follow love's way. Now, how we follow at any given time depends, of course, on our energy and our health, our life circumstances and context, all of which is known to the shepherd, who knows us better than we know ourselves, having formed us in the womb. So all that I say now must be understood and heard within that frame of reference. But it is clear from all of our lections today that we sheep are called to be shepherds. That is our vocation. After Easter, we cannot escape the part we are offered in redeeming the world's suffering. Jesus' suffering, Jesus' sacrificial love provide the pattern for our relationships and the living of our lives. We cannot be his friend. We cannot be his follower if we see the suffering of the world, close our eyes, and refuse to respond in loving ways. St. John says it plainly in his first letter. How does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's goods and sees a sibling in need and yet refuses help? Little children, let us love not in word or speech, but in truth and action. So what does that mean for the vaccination rollout? Not just in Toronto and in Ontario, but around the world, in Africa, in Brazil, in India. What does that mean for the development and use of our wealth and natural resources, for its connection to climate change? Our stewardship has to be relational in this moment, not just for the sheep who are close at hand, but those in faraway pastures. And it must be relational for the future, preventative for those as yet unborn. And though we are tired and listless, can we not pray from the comfort of our chairs for those still on their feet in critical care wards, whose exhaustion keeps the suffering and dying comforted, breathing, alive? Following this Good Shepherd on the path of love can stir up conflict and trouble. That's certain. And it can add to our fatigue and weariness. That is also certain. Which is why the psalmist prays, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow and of death. I am not afraid, for you are ever with me. Your rod and your staff, they guide me. They give me strength and comfort. Even when there is no conflict and trouble, and that is rare, is it not? In our languishing or perishing times, even in our flourishing times, the rod and the staff are essential. I would not advise walking without them. And it's good to know that I am not left without support in my fatigue and in my languishing. And not just any old support, it's the very best of support. And I can't say exactly why this is, but it's of great significance to me that the vastness of this shepherd's care, the immeasurable greatness of his love for me and all the sheep and all of creation provides a staff that I find unbreakable in its power to sustain and to inspire me. In other words, this is a good shepherd whose heart and mind I also trust because of the reach of his love and concern. Like the descendants of our forebear Abraham, like the stars in the night sky, it knows no limit. The Good Shepherd tells us he has other sheep that do not belong to this fold, and he must bring them also. His love embraces the stranger, the lost, the lonely, the outcast, people of other faiths, people of no faith. His spirit abides in all who obey his commandment to love. And I believe they are invited to be with us now at the table, and they always will be. And if I don't have the energy to go and look for them right now, to bring them to the banqueting hall, at least I shouldn't be like the religious authorities in the lesson from Acts who feared or couldn't understand the workings of the Spirit and so sought to restrain or deny the Spirit's radical power to heal, transform, and remake the world. I can give my heart and mind and soul and strength, even when languishing, to this Good Shepherd, whose love is for all the sheep, no matter the sheepfold, and whose banquet will expand with infinite gladness. It is to that banqueting hall the Good Shepherd would carry each one of his precious weary sheep, if that is what is needed. And it is in that banqueting hall that we will find our languishing soothed and understood and healed. You bless me with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the heart of the beloved forever. Not just in some future eternity. But today, starting right now. Amen.